Well, we don't have a Christmas tree. Oh, what a shame. First Sunday in Advent. But it's coming. Like, Christmas is coming. We're going to have a Christmas tree. Probably it'll be put up this week. But did you know that today is the first Sunday in Advent? And it's therefore the first Sunday of the new church year. Yeah. So I say, Happy New Year, everyone. It's time. As Christians, for us to look ahead to the new year. We run through from Advent through to Easter and so on. Advent, as you know, means coming. And so in Advent, we're going back to the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. And we try to imagine ourselves in expectation and longing for God to fulfill these promises. And in Advent, we're also looking forward to what the New Testament writers call the parousia, the appearing of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, the time when, as the creeds tell us, that he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, and his kingdom will never end. I'm longing for that, aren't you? And it's so appropriate that today, on this Advent Sunday, that we're reading Psalm 80. Psalm 80 is a psalm of longing, even a psalm of desperation. I hope you got that when you listened to Katie reading just now. Hallesby, in his book on prayer, said that there are two essential conditions for praying. He says the first is to have faith, and the second is to be desperate. Well, I'm sure most of us don't have any difficulty in being desperate. You know, desperation is name of the game, isn't it, when we go to pray? But we might feel intimidated sometimes by our lack of faith. So Hallesby, then he adds, he says, if we have just enough faith to turn to Jesus and ask for his help, that's all we need. The Psalms are a call to pray. The Psalms are the prayer book of the people of God. And we can use the Psalms and as prayers, just as they are. Pray them in yourself. Let them speak your situation out to God. You can also use them as models of prayers, like we use the Lord's Prayer sometimes. I want to ask you, are you afraid sometimes to tell God how you really feel? Well, the Psalms here encourages us not to be afraid about doing that. Do you wonder sometimes if your troubles are important enough? Maybe they're just too, you feel they're too trivial to make them into a prayer. But then again, the Psalms encourage us to pray about everything. And the Psalms speak for us when we can't find words to speak. Psalm 80 is an incredible psalm, a confession of people trusting God, a God who's big enough to hear their hurt, a God who's strong enough to handle their anger and pain. And you know, when we read through it, you could hear the anger in the people's voices, couldn't you? God, where are you? It was like saying, how come you didn't come and help us? Come, rescue us now from this desperate situation we're in. How long are we going to have to wait? Verse 12, for example, he says, they say, why have you broken down its wall so that all who pass by pluck off its grape? The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have gazed on it. Look at our disgrace, in other words. And the psalm doesn't really assign blame, although if it does, it puts the blame on God. You know, it's like saying, how long before we get beyond the restrictions and the risks of this coronavirus? How long will it be before things start feeling normal again after maybe we've lost a friend or a loved one? How long will I be out of work? I mean, I heard this morning my friend Dougie saying, how long will it be before we can play snooker again with a men's club on a Thursday morning? I can imagine Stevie over there saying, how long will it be before we can play walking football inside the Adler Complex Centre instead of outside in the cold? You know, how long, about some serious things too, how long until I'm able to do the things that I love to do after the surgery or the series of treatments that I've been going through? Or how long until a memory that haunts me will no longer be painful? Or how long until I'm taken seriously and respected by others? How long will my prayers go unanswered? And think about this, as many how longs as you and I have in our lives, there are just as many how longs in the people of our congregation and the wider church. And there are even more how longs being uttered in the world around us. This morning I want to share with you a short story about Tesfai, whose story I've told once before. Tesfai is Amharic for future. This is Tesfai's face smiling at you. The first time I met him, he told me about what had happened to him, and I really thought, I've very rarely seen anybody with so little future. And then I prayed with him and his eyes lit up. And then he went back to living underneath the Erasmus Bridge in Rotterdam. And for another period of time, he lived in someone's basement. And for another period, he lived in the back door of a care home. Twice for lengthy periods at that time, the church that I served put him up in a room and also in a rented flat. And you know, one thing I always remember is he was so grateful for any small thing you did for him or any conversation you had with him. He'd come from a family that had been broken by war and devastation. You know, you hear today about the terrible, awful fightings in Tigray in the north of Ethiopia. And Eritrea, where he came from, is just north of the Tigray province. And it was the time of the Eritrean-Ethiopian wars, great civil unrest. And a bit like some of the people that we've heard about today in Connections Cafe, they just lived for information. They longed for good information. They wanted good news. I remember how often he would talk to me about his mother and how he was still in touch with her. Occasionally, he could talk to her, but she was in very poor health. You know, over many periods of time, he shared his life with us, and he became the caretaker of the church for a while, too. One day, when I was with him, the phone went, and it was his lawyer asking to speak to him. So he took the phone and he was told that he'd finally been given, after 17 years, he'd been given permission legally to stay in the Netherlands. 17 years. The newspaper, the local newspaper, the Rotterdamse Dagblad, picked that up that next week. The front page said, 17 years of living in uncertainty. Of course, that was in a Dutch headline, but you know, they were just telling the society how many people live in that grey area. And it can be for so long without any promises, without any welfare, without any legal support. You know, it's important to hear people's situation and pains. And so in Psalm 80, we heard three times, not once, not twice, but three times this refrain, restore us, O God Almighty, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. And it was like saying, God, won't you just smile on me again? It's so long since I've seen you smile. I suspect that we all know what that's like. Sometimes you go to a friend and we say, almost without thinking, how are you? And they reply, well, you know, I've seen better days. We hear it. We wonder why did we ask, how are you, to hear this? And then we realize we can identify with what they've said. I think most of us can do. We can identify with the financial struggles and problems at work that many people have. Maybe the loss of a job, or we have loss of a livelihood. Some of us feeling the effects of advancing age or going through a debilitating illness. Sometimes it's about losing people we love. I had a lovely email last night about someone just feeling the pain of losing Dr. Stephen Bell. He'd only just discovered that Stephen had died earlier in the year. And, you know, it's not only that. It's about the tension and anxiety of children and grandchildren sometimes. It's going through family conflicts and heartache. And we say, yes, I've seen better days. I've had better days than these. In Psalm 80, the common community is reminding God of those better days. Lord, this is when it was good. In verses 8 to 11, Israel was like a grapevine that God brought up out of Egypt and planted in the good land of Canaan. The people filled the country and flourished, and for many years it seemed like God was really blessing them. But as you know, Psalm 18 is really about serious lament and anxiety about the world around. And in the psalm, what we hear is not so much about blessing, but it's about darkness. But even in the darkness, there's hope. And you heard it. Even in the psalm of lament, you get the first intimation of the coming Christ, the first squeak of the news about the coming Messiah. It talks about the shepherd in verses 1 to 5. It talks about the vine in verses 8 to 15. It talks about the Son of Man in verses 15 to 17. And the Advent period is really about this kind of hope. In deep darkness, in awful adversity, hanging on to that glimmer of light, that promise of God. The two Advents of Christ's coming are really about waiting and anticipating. And this is a season where we do say things like, how long? We do cry out, how long, as a sign of our yearning to be with God and for God to be with us. And each time we cry out this question, we voice our faith. It's not simply desperation, it's also about faith. We voice our faith that we are not alone. We are together. And we join God's people today throughout the ages who've longed for God's peace and God's presence. Katie mentioned that we're just a small company here in the Steeple Church this morning. But actually, I see all these seats filled with many saints. Saints of yesteryear. Saints who've walked with us. It's not only what we see. We who name Christ as our Saviour belong to a bigger company than we can almost ever imagine. Who've been through this longing for peace and for God's blessing.